Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish like trees on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changest thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
When I started recording these messages about a month ago, I spent time reminding us of the truths about God that will anchor us through not only this COVID-19 crisis, but really through all the trials of life. And last week, as we celebrated the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our Savior in the truths of Easter, and you know, what a great hope that we have as we thought about those things, which, you know, can never be canceled, contained, or cease until it is made real when we see Jesus face to face. And I hope your confidence and is in that and you're sustained day by day as you think about those truths. But this week, I want to explore another truth about God that will help us both now and in the days ahead. It is the wisdom of God. I want to explore and expound on this truth so that we will all learn to trust in the wisdom of God, no matter what we're going through. To do so, I want us to look at two passages in the book of Romans, extolling the wisdom of God. They are Romans 11:33 and Romans 16:27. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Romans 16:27 says that to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. In these passages, which both talk about the wisdom of God, the first in Romans 11:33, which begins with, "Oh, the wisdom the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God." Here, Paul has been just finished explaining the truths about salvation and how God's salvation plan, especially in his chapters 9 through 11, relate how he will still save Israel as well as Gentiles, and salvation plan has included the Gentiles, but he hasn't forgotten about his people. And he just gets done talking about that, and then he breaks out into this doxology, this praise to God, extolling God's greatness, especially as it relates to his wisdom and knowledge. So he says, "Oh, the depth," and the idea of depth here is that it's inexhaustible. There's no bottom to it. You can't get to the bottom, not like, you know, diving down into some lake. Or even an ocean, you know, you never reach the bottom of this. What is the depths of? It is the riches the wisdom and knowledge of God. The idea of riches here conveys the idea of abundance or the plentiful supply of wealth. That is what God has. And it's not just a wisdom. Notice it's both the wisdom and knowledge of God. What is wisdom? Here it's being used as the idea of the capacity to understand and to function accordingly. Or as I've said before, the proper application of knowledge. And here it's being applied specifically to salvation. God's measure is intended to bring salvation to believers. It's talked about in Ephesians 3:10 as the manifold wisdom of God. That is the many-sided. There's so many facets to it. And just it's so amazing as the book of Romans explains salvation. And you can just turn that and see God's incredible design in that. But it is not just wisdom, it is knowledge as well. Knowledge is the comprehension or the intellectual grasp of something. Whose knowledge is it? It's of God. And that is what Paul is extolling here as we think about this. Colossians 2:3 tells us that all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in God in Christ. How incredible is that? All wisdom and knowledge come from God. He is the source of all of that. Which is why the verse goes on as Paul continues to extol God. He says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. This unsearchable here is the idea of being unfathomable. You just can't really wrap your mind about it or around it. Job 5:9 and Isaiah 40 verse 28 both talk about the unsearchable or wisdom of God, or God is unsearchable, his ways. And notice what is unsearchable? It is his judgments, not ours. His judgments, a judgment is the content of a deliberate process or decision or decree. So what God decides, what he decrees, his judgments, and his ways, again, not our ways, his ways, that's the way that he acts or conducts himself, is past finding out. The word here for past finding out is the idea of being inscrutable or incomprehensible. It is it's something that you can't track out. You can't follow it to its conclusion because it is just so much different than the way we think. I like how Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 puts this when it says, my thoughts are not your ways. I'm sorry, your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And here in the context is how God will have mercy on the one who repents when we seek God, when we turn to him. He doesn't punish us like man does. He looks for ways to forgive. So God's ways are not the way we normally operate. And the whole salvation plan is just so incredible that God would take a man born of a woman, a virgin, and grow up as, he's born as a baby, lives a human life, poor in poverty, comes out of poverty, brings together so many details at the right exact time, and it's all according to the perfect plan of God. And he goes to the dies the death of a cross, a criminal's death, is buried with a rich man. All these little details that just seemingly contradictions, and God has that all planned out to accomplish our salvation. The only way that we could be rescued from our sins and its consequences. So as you think about this, this is why Paul is extolling the greatness of God. And his ways are so much higher than our ways. Job 11:7 says, can you search out the deep things of God? Or, can you come to the end of his limits? Psalm 139, verse 6 says that his knowledge is too wonderful for us. I cannot attain it. And here in the context of Romans 11, it goes on to quote from two passages, Isaiah 40, verse 13, and Jeremiah 23, 18. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? As you questions that Job asked. Can you give counsel to God? No, we can't. And, I'm sorry, Isaiah asking that question. And then Jeremiah, who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him. Does anyone give to God and God owes them something? Too often we think it works that way, but it doesn't, is what Paul is saying here. And the conclusion of verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He deserves all the glory because it's all his. He made it all. He sustains all. He keeps it all going. And he deserves all the credit for that. Which is why then when Paul gets to the end of his letter in chapter 16, verse 27, he says, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. In the context of the ending of the letter is a benediction where Paul is praying, praising God. He says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. To God alone be wise glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So Paul is just finished talking about how God deserves the credit for this. And he finishes it up with this reminder that God is the one who deserves this. And he alone is wise. And so deserves the glory and credit. So what does it mean that God is alone wise? It means that he is the only one who always applies knowledge rightly. And remember, knowledge, he has all the knowledge in the world. He knows all things. It's one of his attributes, all-knowing, or omniscience, we call it sometimes. And so he can take that knowledge and that of everything and properly apply it to our situations and our lives and everyone's lives. In the whole scope of history. There's a couple other verses from the New Testament that talk similarly. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And Jude 25 says, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Now, both of those contexts maybe are borrowing from this verse here in Romans 16:27. But the truth is there, that God is the only one who is wise. And so the logical conclusion is that he deserves the glory. What does it mean to glorify God? And the idea is that it's honor as status, where we would elevate him in the opinion of all. That's why I've often have defined it as, honor, glorifying God is to make him valuable in the eyes of others because of what we say or do, or increase their opinion of God because of what we say or do. But notice who the one is who is really making this happen, the glory of God. It is through Jesus Christ. He is the one who elevates God. You think about all that Christ has done from creation to salvation. And how I talked about it on this life, that everything he did was for the Father and fulfilling the Father's plan. I mean, he was constantly pointing back to God. And he still continues to do that, which is why then God elevates him, as Philippians 2 talks about. And it points to Jesus' role as a Savior, that's what Jesus means, and Christ, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, who carries out God's eternal plan of glory. And I don't say eternal plan of salvation, because Jesus did far more than just accomplish salvation. That's just a part of the plan of God. It is ultimately to bring God glory. He will judge the world. He will bring pleasure to God. He does things that just God just delights in, and it is all for God's glory. How long does this last? Forever. This is how long this should endure and how long God deserves the praise. And then it finishes with this amen, this truly, verily, and this idea of being in total agreement as Paul wraps up his letter praising God. So as Paul teaches us about the wisdom of God, what can we learn from this? Both during the COVID-19 crisis and every day, because I think danger is that we just think about this time and how to solve this problem and move on. But really, this is truth that will anchor us for all time. So first off, knowing that God has all wisdom and knowledge should help us to trust that God knows more than we do and is rightly applying it to our lives and situation, both with the COVID-19 crisis and any trial that we go through, even if we can't see it. I think that's the reality. We have to remember God has all the wisdom and knowledge, and he rightly applies it. So are you trusting him during this time in your life? Or are we seeking to advise God with our limited knowledge? That's the trap that we fall into, that we would say, God, no, you need to do this. Do you understand? I mean, this is the problem. Here's how it's going to affect me, and this would be a better solution. That's what we do through worry and our anger at life. And even through our prayers, we sometimes advise God on what to do. We have to trust that God is working his plan through this time right now, and that he has the big picture, even though we don't, and we can trust him with that. Secondly, as we see God's wisdom displayed in our lives, whether it's this crisis or as we look over the world around us, the creation, we look at salvation as we've just done with Easter, and how his death and resurrection, death for our sins and resurrection, proving God accepted his sacrifice and how that accomplishes our salvation when we trust in him. Or just looking at your life in particular, maybe it's the timing of things and the ways that God is working. As you see God's wisdom displayed in your life, are we giving God the praise for his perfect wisdom to him? We should do this both to him personally. I think that's how, through prayer and singing, but also to those around us, because really to glorify God, you want to move from him to others as well. And even though you may be, you're social distancing, you still have your family around you, those that you still interact with, maybe your neighbors, you talk to 6 feet away, or those that you are talking with at work. Maybe you're not physically present with each other, but still communicating, or maybe it's just online, whether it's on social media, Facebook, or what other ways that you're communicating with people through this time, that you can still give God praise for how he is working and give him the credit for that and trusting in his wisdom there. And then third, since God alone is wise, are we coming to him for wisdom to apply the right knowledge to our everyday problems? Or are we continuing to depend on our own limited and skewed perspective of wisdom? James 3 accurately describes it as this contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. When he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. For this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The three sources of temptation are the world, the flesh, and the devil. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So it helps us to differentiate between man's wisdom and God's wisdom there. And which one are we relying on? Too often, if we're honest, it's our own limited, skewed, worldly wisdom. Experience, the experts, what works, pragmatism, rather than what is right, what is best, and what God would desire, and what he shows us in his word. And as we we think about our own, you know, applying, depending on our, on God's wisdom for ourselves, but also are we praying for our leaders and those fighting this virus to have wisdom, God's wisdom in this time? 1 Timothy 2 tells us that we should pray for kings and for all those in authority, interceding that they would, in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So we should, you know, as Paul says, exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is what we need to be praying, that God, that the world would be turning to God through this time, that they would, you know, be depending on Him, pray, be thankful for the leaders that God has given us right now, and, you know, realize that they need God's wisdom, and pray for them on a daily basis, that they would depend on Him and not themselves through this. With the goal being that we could all live for God, live the way that He calls us to, and to see more people saved as God, what God did through Christ. So are we praying that for that, for others? Then fourthly, will we seek to continue to turn to God for wisdom even after this crisis is over, and to live constantly seeking His wisdom for all of life's problems by turning to His Word daily for instruction and guidance? Psalm 119, which is all about God's Word, tells us that is a light to our paths, a lamp to our feet, and a light to our paths. Verse 11 tells that we should hide God's Word in our heart so that we wouldn't sin against Him. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16 tells us about the need for God to reveal Himself to us. And if He is the source of all wisdom, we need Him to reveal it. And He has done that through His Word, which is why it's so important to be in God's Word, to be seeking and studying God's Word. And I would challenge you, as you have more time these days, because you're not so distracted with all the outside activities and going places, doing things and all that, to take the time to read and study God's Word. And as you do that, now it will prepare you for future needs and future problems and trials that you may face, that you'll be equipped to do that. So I would challenge you to do that. And then fifthly, and not to diminish this, and this is of utmost importance, have you wisely turned to Him and properly realizing you cannot save yourself from your greatest problem and crisis, which is sin? It's not a disease. It is a problem that affects all of us, as Romans 3:23 says. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the consequences, Romans 6:23a tells us, the wages of sin is death. That's why we will die, whether it's, you know, COVID-19 or something else. We're all going to die. And we all face that because of sin. And we can't do anything about it. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags, like menstrual rags. And, you know, God saved us through His grace. Because we couldn't do it on our own. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not as ourselves, is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we need God to save us through Christ. That's where wisdom starts. You need to trust in Jesus to rescue you from your sin. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just reading recently, reminder that if we were to die from this disease, it would be the best thing that would happen to us as Christians, because we'd go to be with Christ. You know, we don't have to fear death. And yet if you die as an unbeliever, it's the worst thing that could happen to you, because you die facing an eternal judgment in hell. So what do you need to do? Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, he'll be saved. For with the heart man believes in the righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what we need to do. We need to turn to him in repentance. Say, I'm a sinner in need of your grace. I can't save myself, and I trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you. This is the beginning of trusting in the wisdom of God for all of eternity. Are you trusting in the wisdom of God during this time of crisis? Will you continue to do so in the days ahead, no matter what happens, for better or worse? Will you continue to trust him? Are you noticing the wisdom of God? Are you seeing it at work around you in God's plan and timing and ways and looking for it? And as you find it, are you encouraging others to seek God's wisdom? You know, it starts with salvation and then daily depending on him. Are you trusting in the wisdom of God? I want to finish by singing a hymn, a more recent hymn by the Gettys. It's called The Perfect Wisdom of Our God, that just explains these things and extols God for his wisdom. The perfect wisdom of our God, revealed in all the universe, all things created by his hand, and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way, and turns the earth through another day. The matchless wisdom of his ways that marks the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And oh, the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. O grant me wisdom from above, to pray for peace and cling to love, and teach me humbly to receive the sun and rain of your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has a place within this tapestry of grace. So through the trials I'll choose to say, your perfect will in your perfect way. Father, we thank you for your perfect wisdom that you give us, that you are the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and that is through this time that we would turn to you for the wisdom and how to respond, that we would that our leaders would turn to you, that they would find wisdom and strength as they look to you, not themselves. Lord, I pray for those who are seeking ways to overcome this disease, that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that we would help others to see your perfect wisdom in all that you are doing. We see it in your creation. Help us to see it in your salvation plan. And we just rejoice in those truths that we remembered last week. And may we point others to you, that Lord, if we don't know you, we would turn to you for wisdom, starting in trusting you for salvation and then living for you each and every day. Lord, help us not to depend on ourselves and our limited perspectives and the lacking knowledge that we have, but to seek your perfect wisdom and just praise you for all that you are doing as we see your hand at work in our lives. We ask all these things and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.